What I want, go ahead and put up the Media Persia Empire map to give an idea of the Media Persia domain at that time. And but we'll open in a word of prayer. Lord, we pray for your help and guidance upon our life, and we pray that our hearts would be tender towards you, and that we would grow in grace and knowledge of you. And we pray for our world today, and with negotiations between our president and for Putin. We pray for your miraculous moving in people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, with the Media Persian map at that time, it was the largest Persian empire at the time. And Cyrus the Great, which we'll be reading here in Ezra chapter 1, and what we find here at the time, it was the biggest landmass. It was Medo-Persian Empire. And with that, the Medo-Persian, you had the children of Israel, they were in exile. And so Jerusalem was torn down. But the prophecy is, God says, I'm going to return you back to Jerusalem. You're going to rebuild my temple. And that was a promise. And they were in exile for 70 years. And the Lord moved, even though Cyrus was not a Christian, his predecessors were not, the Lord moved in Cyrus's heart, because Cyrus's heart was softened by the Lord. He hardens people's hearts, and he softens people's hearts. But God's word is always true. So with that, we'll start off, and we'll get into Ezra chapter 1 now. And if we can get Ezra chapter 1 up, and I'll be reading here. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Okay, see what that is? He took and said to Jeremiah, he gave this promise to Jeremiah, you're going to go back, Jerusalem. Okay, so, and this is done. Cyrus, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout the land, throughout the region, and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, now get this, he's not a Jew, he is of against the Jews, that's what their empire was, and yet, look how the Lord softened his heart. He acknowledges, he says, this is what King Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all of the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem to Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in that, in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. So when the family heads of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, all their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts, in addition to all the freewill offerings. Moreover, King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and placed in the temple of his God. Cyrus, king of Persia, had them brought by Maharoth, the treasurer, who counted him out to Shashbanoth, the prince of Judah. So we find here the inventory was great. There was a lot of inventory there. And in all, I'll just briefly go down here to verse 11. In all, there were 5,400 articles of gold and of silver. Shashbanoth brought all these along with the exiles when they came up from Babylon to Jerusalem. The key thing is here, God is in control. It doesn't matter what country it was, God is in control. And that's what we need to realize. We just had President Trump and Putin up in Alaska doing negotiation. We just came from a time of woke and everything like that. And now we have an administration that is trying to straighten things out back to the Judeo-Christian ethics. But there is opposition. And that's what we want to come into here. Even though this is done, even though Cyrus gives his blessing, even all this funds and finances and stuff that's coming in, and not everyone is with Cyrus King. I mean, even though there was ones that did give all this money, and yet we find here, as we'll continue on in chapter 2, we'll go in chapter 2. Now, these are the people of the providence who came up from the capital of the exiles, who Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken captive to Babylon. They returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to their own town. In company with Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Sarah, Rela, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpah, Bigvah, Ru, and Bala. So it gives the whole list of people there, the whole way from the 12 tribes of Israel, all those that plan on returning. Now, if we could get the map back up again, I want to show you something with the map. Okay. With the map, there's a big desert out through there. And in order for the people to go the whole way through there, it's going to take about 4 months, okay? And so you have children, you have older people, you have ones that want to go back to build, you have the young, you know, the strong ones and stuff. But what I want to impress upon you, they have to go through a desert, okay? And you're talking thousands and thousands of people traveling back to Jerusalem. And you know what? That was not easy. You didn't drop into a McDonald's and get something to eat. Okay? They had to get all their food on the way. They had to have water. They had to have provision. But you know what? God provided for them. And they had to have the want to. And so, even like today, bring out around today, some people are saying, oh, you know, I don't like it. You know, I'm a little illegal. I'm not going to get my free money anymore. I have to go back to my country and everything. Oh, it's so terrible. I don't got my green card. I don't got this. I don't got that. And other people that was getting free money from the government and stuff, there's opposition, okay? They don't like it, okay? And so it's the same deal. And so we're going to get opposition, okay? But God is in control, and we need to take and look to the Lord and how he's going to provide. And the thing of it is, what are we going to do as a church and as a nation? Are we going to wring our hands and say, oh, this is terrible? Or what are we going to do? Are we going to fight for what's right? Whatever it comes our way, what are we going to do? The thing of it is, we need to live for Jesus. And so just like in Thessalonians, what we see those ones who have come to Christ, and the rapture of the church, and then we'll be caught out. And then some people were saying, oh, wouldn't it be great if the rapture would take place right now and we could be out of this mess? No, that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to be a witness where we're at, telling the lost people beside us. He wants us to be praying for people's hearts that are hard to be softened, to come to Christ, to be a witness. We are to use our facilities and our energies for the preaching of the gospel and winning souls for Christ. And the only way we can do that, the first work is prayer. Prayer and coming to the Lord. And he can work through hard hearts, because what he did, he worked in Cyrus's, he worked in the other people to give them the money, the means. But what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and continue on in chapter 2, and we'll go to chapter 3. We're going to go a brief overview of the whole thing, but we'll go into chapter 3. And it talks about the rebuilding of the altar. When the seventh, okay, he almost has it up there. So it says in the prior verse there, 39, the priests, the Levites, the musicians, and the gatekeepers, and the temple servants settled in their own towns, along with some of the other people, and the rest of the Israelites settled in their homes. Okay, so Ezra chapter 3. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled together as one in Jerusalem. Then Joshua, son of Jozadak, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shema, and his associates began to build the altar of the God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings on it. Notice what they did first, once he settled, they offered sacrifices to God. And despite, burnt offerings on it, with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God, despite their despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built an altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifices. Then, in accordance with what is written, they celebrated the festival of tabernacle with the required number of burnt offerings prescribed for each day. After that, they presented the regular burnt offerings, the new moon sacrifices, and the sacrifice of all the appointed sacrifice sacred festivals of the Lord, as well as those brought as freewill offerings to the Lord. On that first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord through the foundation of the Lord's temple, and had not been laid. Then they gave money to the masons and carpenters, and gave food and drink and olive oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre, so that they would bring cedar logs by sea from Lebanon to Joppa, as authorized by Cyrus, king of Persia. And they didn't have the big cranes and stuff from building stuff that we have nowadays. This is work, okay? And so in the second month of the second year after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, and the rest of the people, and the priests, and the Levites and all who had returned from the captivity of Jerusalem began to work. They appointed Levites, 20 years old and older, to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Joshua and his sons and brothers, and Cadmon and his sons, descendants of Hodef, and the sons of Henadad, and their sons and brothers, and all Levites, joined together in supervising those working on the house of God. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with their trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals. They took their places to praise the Lord. Take notice that? They had song. They was praising the Lord, as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. Look at the promises that God has right there. His love endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise that and the sound was heard far away. Can you imagine the joy and weeping, everything? That is amazing. But this is the key thing. In chapter 4, we're seeing what's happening here. So when the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that exiles were building a temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the families and said, "Let us help you build, because, like you, we seek your God and have been sacrificing to him since the time of Ashpenaz, king of Assyria, who brought us here." But Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the rest of the heads of the family of Israel answered, "Hey, you have no part with us within the building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord, the God of Israel, the king, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, commanded us." Then the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They bribed officials to work against them and frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, does that look like today? Our elected officials are being bribed. They don't like the fact that their corruption has been shown. They don't like that one bit. There's opposition. They're not ushering in, you know, election integrity and everything that goes with it. They don't like it. There is opposition. And so what we need to do, we need to continue doing what's right regardless. We need to pray for elected officials. We need to pray for changed hearts, that the Lord would work in their hearts. Continuing on here, the next verse, 6. At the beginning of the reign of Xerxes, they lodged an accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. In the days of Xerxes, king of Persia, Bisham, Metrov, Tabel, and the rest of the associates wrote a letter to Xerxes. The letter was written in Aramaic script and in the Aramaic language. Rahab, the commanding officer, and Shishma, the secretary, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Xerxes, the king, as follows. Rahab, the commanding officer, and Shishma, the secretary, together with the rest of their associates, the judges, officials, and administrators over the people from Persia, Uruk, and Babylon, the Elamites of Susa, and the other people whom the great and honorable Ashpenaz deported and settled in the city of Samaria and elsewhere in Trans-Euphrates. This is a copy of the letter they sent to King Xerxes, former servants in Trans-Euphrates. The king should know that the people who came up to us from you have gone to Jerusalem and are rebuilding that rebellious and wicked city. They are restoring the walls and repairing the foundations. Furthermore, the king should know that if this city is built and its walls are restored, no more taxes, tribute, or duty will be paid, and eventually the royal revenues will suffer. Now, since we are under obligation to the palace, and it's not proper for us to see the king dishonored, we are sending this message to inform the king, so that a search may be made in the archives of your predecessors. In these records, you will find that this city is a rebellious city, troublesome to kings and provinces, a place with a long history of sedition. That is why this city was destroyed. We informed the king that if this city is built and its walls are restored, you'll be left without nothing in Trans-Euphrates. Oh, the king sent this reply. Oh, he didn't like it. To Rehum, the commanding officer, Shishmael, the secretary, and the rest of the associates living in Samaria and elsewhere in Trans-Euphrates. The letter you sent us has been read and translated in my presence. I issued an order, and a search was made. And it was found that this city has a long history of revolt against kings and has been a place of rebellion and sedition. Jerusalem has had powerful kings ruling over the whole of Trans-Euphrates, and taxes, tribute, and duty were paid to them. Now issue an order to these men to stop work so that this city will not be rebuilt until I so order. Be careful not to neglect this matter. Why let this threat go to the detriment of the royal interest? Okay, so with the taxes being cut and different things like that in our country, and some changes being made like that, there are people that don't like that because they want to tax as much as they can so that they can spend however they want, you know, tax and spend. But, you know, so this is the same deal. It's no new. So as soon as the copy of the letter of King Xerxes was read to Rehum and Shema, the secretary and the associates, they went immediately to the Jews in Jerusalem and compelled them by force to stop. Thus the work on the house of God in Jerusalem came to a standstill until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Okay, so it came to stop for 2 years, but let's see what happened. Okay, now Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the prophet, a descendant of Lydda, prophesied to Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the Lord, God of Israel, who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, son of Sheba, and Joshua, son of Josedech, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. At that time, Tatian, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar Boshna and their associates went to them and asked, "Who authorized you to rebuild this temple and to finish it?" They also asked, "Why are the names of those who are constructing the, who are the, what are the names of the people who are constructing this building?" But the eye of their God was watching over the elders of the Jews, and they were not stopped until a report could go to Darius and his written reply be received. This is a copy of the letter that Tetra, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Chetra Bazanon and their associates, the officials of Trans-Euphrates, sent to King Darius. The report they sent him read as follows. To King Darius, cordial greetings. The king should know that we went to the district of Judah, district of Judah, temple. I didn't get two pages, did I? Yeah. The king should know that we went to the district of Judah to the temple of the great God. The people are building with the large stones and placing the timbers in the walls. The work is being carried out with diligence and making rapid progress under their direction. We questioned the elders and asked them, "Oh, who authorized you to rebuild this temple and to finish it?" We also asked them their names so that we could write down the names of their leaders for your information. This is what the answer they gave us. "We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, one that a great king of Israel built and finished. But because our ancestors angered the God of heaven, he gave them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldean, king of Babylon, who destroyed the temple and deported the people to Babylon. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to rebuild this house of God. He even removed from the temple of Babylon the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to the temple in Babylon. Then King Cyrus gave them to a man named Shasbazar, whom he appointed governor, and he told them, 'Take these articles and go out and deposit them in the temple in Jerusalem and rebuild the house of God on its site.' So this Shasbazar came and laid the foundation of the house of God in Jerusalem. From that day to the present, it has been under construction, but is not yet finished. Now, if it pleases the king, let a search be made in the royal archives of Babylon to see if King Cyrus did in fact issue a decree to rebuild that house of God in Jerusalem. Then let the king send us his decision in this matter." So King Darius then issued an order, and they searched the archives stored in the treasury of Babylon. A scroll was found in the citadel of Achanar in the province of Media, and this was written on it: "In the first year of King Cyrus, the king issued a decree concerning the temple of God in Jerusalem. Let the temple be rebuilt as a place to present sacrifices, and let its foundations be laid. In it be 60 cubits high, 60 cubits wide, with three courses of large stones and one of timbers. The costs are to be paid by the royal treasury. Also, the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, are to be returned to their places in the temple of Jerusalem. They are to be deposited in the house of God. Now then, Tatro, a governor of Trans-Euphrates and Sheba, and you other officials of that province, stay away from there. Do not interfere with the work on this temple of God. Let the governor of the Jews and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its site." So what we find here, they go back into the documents that they had. Okay, so what we find here in America, we have the same thing. In the last number of years, they have tried to rewrite the Constitution of the United States. They've tried to make it what they want it to say. We've had to go back to the original founding fathers, what is written and what is meant, and to have freedom of religion and stuff, and have where we can have that, because the states throughout our country, there's ones that are not hearing, but there is ones that are coming back to putting prayer back in the school and different things, and it's because of the fact We need to be able to stand on the Constitution and do what's right. And it's in the Constitution and stuff. And so the whole thing is, and I'll be wanting that John Rich thing, Josiah. Okay. What we're seeing here is we have a war between good and evil, but we'll be watching John Rich's presentation here, and he wrote this, and you'll see it. He'll be bringing it up, and we're not going to be singing along. It's a song, but then we'll be singing Phillips, Craig, and Dean Revelation song. But anyhow, and what it's going to do is going to portray between good and evil exactly, and that the Lord is in charge and he's coming back. Go ahead, Josiah.